This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome to the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line this morning here in the Outdoor Line with very, very special guest, Eric Lindy. How are you doing, Eric Lindy?
Good morning. Good.
Do you guys want to sit next to each other for this one? I want to give you a little credit
actually,
for this spring.
I know
he wants to be right here. Well, so you can look deep into your eyes.
We're actually going to do a post-game video, wrap-up video. And I'm going to bring a rod down with the way I'm rigged up, but you're going to show us a way to keep your gear running straight. These rotating flashers, the inline flashers that we use. We use them here in our saltwater fisheries quite a bit, but where they really shine, Eric, are in the shallower fisheries we experience on the Columbia River, both in Springer fishing, of course, and this fall down here at Buoy 10, come August, all right? Tell us a little bit about how you set things up, because if you do it wrong, you're gonna tie the Murphy knot. You're gonna be carving up all your braid and stuff, but you're gonna lose a fish. And
mm-hmm.
we experienced losing a big fish down there. So take us through the concept of the inline flasher and actual rigging and its use, Eric Lindy.
Well, a lot of this stuff is just getting consistent stuff working for you. Number one is line diameter. Everybody gets in their boat, and if it's three buddies in a boat, they have three different sizes of line diameter. Well, these are low drag flashers, but they still drag.
Sure,
and
they
drag at different distances with different diameters of line. So if you have the same diameter of line, that's the first key to it. That keeps everybody diving with the same amount of lead at the same angle.
Great point.
Lead or diver.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's really key. The next thing to do is in the spring Chinook fisher and the Columbia, what we're doing is we're hugging bottom. We're right on the bottom. I mean tacking.
Right.
I mean,
your rod's just bouncing on.
Mm-hmm.
You're
hitting
see
bottom.
Your rod the whole time.
So the key there is to have your lead line be like, say, 12 inches. And I one thing that people do is that they don't use a tape measure.
Right.
Because you ask every guy in this booth what 12 inches is, and I guarantee you're going to be about 6 inches
longer. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No. Anyway, yeah, moving on.
Yeah, uh-huh. Continue on, please.
So you have a 12-inch lead line, and then the next piece of line from your swivel to your flasher is 14 inches. So there's no possible way that lead can come up and get wound up in that rotating flasher.
Right.
And if it does swing up, it just hits the line and hopefully untwists and come
off. It just comes up. If it does twist up, it just untwists. The weight of the lead, mm-hmm. when you lift up on the line, just untwists the line. Mm-hmm. So then I've got my fish flash on there. I run the fish flashes. I've kind of enjoyed those. They've really upgraded them with the brass eyelets into the fish flash.
And the ball bearing swivels as opposed to the bead chains.
Well, mm-hmm. well, actually, not only that, but they took the dual lock snap out of there.
Oh.
So instead of having 3 inches of rigging on each end that tangles up into your line, you've got this nice, tight, neat connection.
Sure.
And I'm kind of into that. So then behind my flasher, I've got another length of line about a foot long when it's all tied up to another little swivel. So I've got, from the flasher back, I've got a foot of 40-pound.
Right.
And then a little ball-bearing swivel is what I use. You could use a number 5 or a number 7 McMahon snap. And then 4 feet a leader to a 3-aught, 2-aught Moochin' rig.
Okay, now this is the Springer rig, and it's important to note that you're putting a second swivel, okay, ball-bearing swivel, in line after your flasher. Because when you put a swivel in the middle of a length of line, it insulates your other piece of gear, which is spinning, from the twist that's happening with that herring, because that herring, that thing is gonna turn. You need to add more swivels, so you actually have two things turning, and you have three swivels keeping them apart.
Let me back up just a second,
yes.
So you understand this whole picture. So from my bead chain in front of my flasher,
sure.
is a 14-inch piece of 40-pound line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Behind my flasher is a 12-inch piece of 40-pound line.
Right.
To a swivel,
mm-hmm.
and then a 4 foot 25-pound or even 20-pound leader, so that when things hang up, it snaps that leader off and you get everything else back. You're not making tying 6 knots when you do it, and it speeds up your day. You might go through some leaders, but it's
better than losing the whole shooting.
Yes, it is.
Now we're down to your Moochin' rig and to the herring. And we were joking around about this during the break. They eat just a regular old herring. Do you feel that it's necessary to go down there with 20 different cured herring rigs and this scent and that scent and purple and blue and green and yellow and everything? Or you just throw some nice fresh bait out there and just catch fish?
Well, let me preface this just a little bit. So in my talks, I like to talk about
Dwayne. He's getting all over there.
There's a way to work through this problem. So here's the deal. So here's the deal.
That Inslee has created.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. The fight that Robbo picked.
Deal.
Yeah.
So the purpose of a lighter leader is because we're trolling slow and we need that herring to turn.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guarantee you, just like Robbo says, is that they bite silver ones that are cut plug and spin.
Yeah.
They
yes,
bite
they
those.
Yes,
they do.
But fishermen being fishermen, they always want to try something that gets bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, at times, better things out there, especially with turbidity in the water, sun on the water, different things.
Sure. Sometimes some garlic will work a little better. Sometimes a little UV might give you a little advantage. But overall, do you ever mess around with that stuff? Or you just put some cured herring down there and go? A little salt.
I am kind of a silver.
You're old school.
I'm old school.
Okay.
Matter of fact, to be real honest with you, sometimes the best ones are frozen, cut right out of the package. When they're beaten on the bottom, they stay cut plug and they spin so tight and good. I just love those ones. If I can just barely get a hook through that.
I fish frozen bait too.
Well,
I mean, I do. And let them thaw slow in salt water. But yeah, those first few you cut in the morning, I mean, I guarantee you, we go down to Buoy 10 this year, we're going to have a bait freezer in the back of the rig. Running them all the way down and bring frozen bait down there. Yep. I mean, that is, and then fish froze every day.
Well, now, let me put a little caveat on that.
Go ahead.
Now, this is, when I'm telling you I fish frozen baits like that, that's on that bottom dragon deal on the Columbia River.
Right.
Because the baits are getting beat in the rocks all the way down the river.
Yeah, they're hammering.
So at Buoy 10, I don't necessarily just cut out.
But we're talking spring Chinook.
Right. We're talking
spring.
We've
got a lot
of
time to get to Buoy 10 yet.
Right.
So.
But the colored herring, just a second, I'm going to jump in here. Colored herring on turbid days, there are days when those colored herring get bit and they get bit good. Plus, you've got the brining.
And you got some UV in there, too.
Absolutely.
Which is
UV
nice.
Is.
Now, you talked about how you have your folks let the baits down, let the stuff to the bottom. What do you do with your reels? Do you do something special with your reels so that it drives people crazy?
I do. And actually, I wish I could take credit for this, but somebody else told me about it. And I've got anywhere from 4 to 6 rods in my boat pretty much every day. So I gotta keep my head on a swivel watching these things go down. What I do is I have the guys turn the clicker on.
Yep.
I run clickers on my boat all the time.
For good reason.
I've turned the clicker on, and when they can just basically take their thumb off the spool, and the clicker slows the rate of descent.
Right.
That way it's not just rocketing to the bottom, turning into a big balled-up mess on the way down.
That's where the problem comes, is you got an 8-ounce sinker dragging all your gear down, and that flasher drags so much in the water it goes up and catches on your main line and twists up in your main line. And that when you get that braid twisted up in a fish flash.
Yep. Oh, good luck.
Yeah,
it's an absolute mess.
It's a cutter. It's a cutter.
It is.
Yeah, you're in a, it's called fishing timeout.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And I look at those guys and go, you just cost the boat a fish.
Yeah. Right.
You're in fishing timeout.
Back to the bow.
Yeah.
Get to the
pebbly,
bow.
Pebbly box.
Here's a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Go to work, son.
All right. So there's your Three Rivers Marine Tech line from Eric Lindy, who's probably got more experience running in this gear than all of us combined.